This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Good morning, everybody. So good to see you here. Wow. Man, I feel something in this house. Hallelujah. It's good. Man, when you said we're, you know, believing for a move of God, I heard the Spirit of God saying to me, this is a move of God. Celebration Salinas, this is a move of God. Come on, you're in it. Come on, this is, you are. Come on, you are a move of God. Come on, God's doing more than you think. God's got your back. Come on, this is a move of God. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm on assignment, so I'm going to get busy here. It is a delight to be here. I'm so thankful that you came out this morning to be in this service. I believe that what God has for us is going to be not spectacular, but I believe it's going to be supernatural. In fact, if you're looking for the spectacular, you might just miss the supernatural. And I believe that God has given us some things to say and to do, and I'm believing and trusting God's help to do that. I do want to say just to the Green family, man, what a precious family they are to us. Wow. Cher and Tony, well, God's doing a work in Cher. The anointing, the power, restoration. I love that song, Cher. Take it back. Like, that's one of the things that God spoke to me. You're getting it back this year. But when she started singing that, I said, not only am I going to get it back, I'm going to take it back. Come on, anybody else going to take some things back? Beginning of the year, I preached, just stay with me, just the same. Beginning of the year, I preached on the two blind men in Matthew's gospel. And the Bible says Jesus reached out and touched their eyes. And he says, be restored. And the Bible says their eyes came open. It's funny that Jesus didn't say be healed or be made whole. Like blind Bartimaeus, he said be healed or be made whole. But these two blind men, Jesus said, touch their eyes. And the Bible says their eyes were restored, which means that at one time they saw, but then they lost it. But then Jesus touched them and they got it back. I believe Jesus is going to touch some people today. Come on, you're going to get some things back. God is moving up and down these aisles, in and out of every row. He's touching and healing and delivering. How many of you would agree it's time to get some things back? It's time to get some things back. That's free of charge. 2019, you're going to get some things back. Going to get some things back. I'm so grateful for Sharon, Tony, and Jason and Liz. Man, he's just too much this morning, making me miss my wife already. My wife usually comes with me, but it's hard to preach when you have a woman that good looking, that hot, even after 33 years of marriage. It's just difficult to stay focused when she's sitting on the front row. Woo! So I left her at home. She's actually helping in our Clovis campus this morning, and I'm so grateful to her. I want to say real quickly to Terry and Karen Green, Pastor Terry and Karen. For those that don't know, some 33 years ago, actually I'm here on assignment, but I'm actually here probably more for myself and a little selfish, I know, than even for you, because I'm here on some business and some things that I need to do in their life, and I'll do that probably before I leave. But me and my wife were around our... Ooh. About 4:30 this morning, me and my wife were around our kitchen and we were praying over something God has spoken to us to do. And I am so excited. 33 years ago, this man and this woman put me into ministry full time. they hired me. I was a part of this church. So I'm 33. How many of you was here 33 years ago? A couple of you. Somebody believed in the gift that was on the inside of us and put us into full-time ministry. And I want you to know, Pastor Terry and Karen, I'm forever grateful for you having the guts, the fortitude, the spiritual perception to believe in kids. At that time, we don't have much going for ourselves now, but at that time, we really didn't have much going for ourselves. And I'm so grateful that you believed in us. I said all the time, it's kind of like Samuel coming in and saying, it's not that one, and it's not that one, and it's not that one. Is there another son around here? Oh, well, we have one in the backyard, but, you know, he's kind of, bring him here. I felt like Pastor Terry and Karen found us in the backyard and put us into ministry. And everything we're doing today is just an amazing thing. I just found out we have over 47 churches in the Philippines that bear the Celebration name. 47. In the Fresno area, we have 4 different campuses, and God is doing so many great things, and thousands of people's lives are being impacted, and it all started right here. And I'm thankful, Terry. Thank you. Father, we're so grateful today for your word, for this moment. God, we just invite your presence like never before. God, I'm grateful for this man and this woman of God, and I pray, God, that this would be a significant day for them. Hallelujah. God, a refiring, a stirring. God, passion coming alive again. Forfeited things, Lord, coming back to them. Dreams being ignited. God, I pray for the people of this church, the people of Celebration, God, our family here in Salinas. I pray, God, that you would meet us in a special way and that you'd speak into our hearts and do something so amazing that's life-changing. Father, I thank you that you've given me the ability to speak with a fresh anointing. God, I thank you that I'm on assignment to deliver what you've called me to deliver in this house. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. You can be seated. And just stay with me just until I read my text, guys. Get set up here. I already made promises to God. If I don't get done with everything, that's okay. I want to say what he wants me to say, and I want to do what he wants me to do. It is a delight to be here. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. In 2019, I've heard many different words that God has spoken through ministers concerning this year, and I really want to focus because I believe my assignment is to really help frame something. I know you've been praying and you've been seeking God, and many of you have been fasting, and I really want to frame something that I believe can help you to receive all that God has for you in 2019. Very specifically, I already released it. The Lord spoke to me concerning the ministry of Celebration and those who we lead, that this would be a year that we're going to get some things back. That some things were lost. Not just stuff. Some of us lost dreams and passion. And we're going to get some things back. And I'm excited about that. And then I was at a conference this last week, and one of the pastors that I have a tremendous amount of respect for began to talk about this was the year of abundant harvest. And I believe that. And then for those that don't know, my father in the faith, Brother Hagen, who is now in heaven, his daughter, Pat Harrison, said this, and it just lit up on the inside of me. She said, this is the year. It's the year of the big. It's the year of the big. You must be believing for small. I said, it's the year of the big. What would life look like if God showed up and did something big? Something big in your marriage, something big in your family. Come on, could anybody use something big in your finances? Come on, something big in your relationship. It's the year of the big. And I'm telling you, something just, that God, that's That's it. Now listen, none of this happens for you if you have no faith for it. So you can sit there and go, it's not going to happen. You could be sitting by somebody, here's the same thing, but they reach out and receive it by faith, and it happens in their life, and it doesn't happen for you because you don't get it without exercising in faith. And one of the greatest indicators you're in faith is you're excited. Come on, is anybody excited about God doing something big? Come on, I'm talking about something big in your family. Oh, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. But in November of 2018, I was by myself in the hills where I usually go to spend time, quiet time. The Lord spoke to me concerning 2019, a few months before it happened. And He said this to me. He said, everything that I want to do in your life cannot be accessed, listen, without a belief and a confidence that absolutely knows that God is for you. I want you to get that. God says you can tell them that it's a year of abundant harvest. You can tell them that they're going to get their stuff back. You can tell them that it's a year of the big, but none of it is possible without a confidence, without a belief, without a knowing that God is for you. So my assignment today in this service and next service is to show you, to give you confidence that God is for you. Because if you can frame your year with that mindset, with that knowing, with that confidence, I'm here to tell you, it'll be a big year for you. It'll be a year of abundance. It'll be a year where you get stuff back. But it all starts with an understanding and a knowing that God is for you. In Romans 8, verse 28. Let me read verses here and get started. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image, catch that, to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these also He justified. And whom He justified, these also He glorified. And it's hard to read verse 31 without putting your preacher voice on. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to hear it one more time. If God is going to be able to do what He wants to do, if you're going to be able to access what He wants to do in 2019, then you must be thoroughly convinced that you serve a God that is for you. Somebody shout out loud, God is for me. Father, thank You for Your word. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The Apostle Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament, is the one that penned the book of Romans, and it's known as his masterpiece. I'm going to work on foundation here, get a little teachy for you, but how many of you know the Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding. So we don't need to just go out of this place shouting. We need to go out of this place with some knowing, some understanding, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a good shout. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament, is the one who penned the book of Romans. And this book of Romans is known as the masterpiece of all his writings. It's in this book where if you don't know anything about God, you can actually start reading this book from the beginning to the end, and learn everything that you need to know that Jesus did from you, that Jesus did for you from beginning to end. If you was to go to seminary, Bible school, one of the semesters that you would have is you would have a class, one whole semester, just on the book of Romans, because it is a significant book in the New Testament. And in Romans chapter 1, you know, Paul just begins to start out and he begins to talk about how the whole world, because of Adam's sin, was living in depravity, which means they just didn't know right from wrong. And so a lot of times we look at the condition of the world, and you want to understand the condition of your world, of the world, just go to Romans chapter 1. But then in Romans chapter 2, Paul begins to introduce and begins to show us how God began to work his plan of redemption by introducing the law, not to save people, but to show people that they needed to be saved. That's the reason why God introduced the law. The law was just a bunch of rules that nobody could keep. Did you hear that? The law, the Old Testament, was just a bunch of rules to prove to people they could not keep the law, thus showing them their sin, thus showing them that they needed a Savior. And then Paul scoots on to Romans chapter 4, and he begins to introduce to us the father of our faith, Abraham, introducing to us the truth that righteousness would not come by works, but by faith, that righteousness would be obtained by faith and faith alone. And then in Romans chapter 5, this is where all the goodies of the whole book begins to start. We're introduced to the free gift of God and that we're saved by grace and that it's not about the law and keeping all the rules that's in the law, but it's by grace and grace alone. It's the grace of God through Jesus Christ that saves us from our depravity. And then in Romans chapter 6, Paul begins to help us understand that even though you're saved, you're not perfect. Be a good place to say amen there. That we're not perfect and that we still mess up from time to time. But Paul teaches us that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. That it doesn't matter how many times you mess up, there's always more grace than your mess up. How many of you are thankful for Romans chapter 6? And then in Romans chapter 7, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, because Paul begins to talk about the struggle. He begins to talk about just because you're saved doesn't mean that the struggle is over. He talks about the war, the conflict that goes on between your flesh and your spirit. They're at war. They're at odds with one another. And the Bible says, Paul says in this chapter, he says, sometimes, I'm not doing the things I want to do. And the things I should be doing, I'm not doing. Now, that gives me a lot of comfort to know a guy that wrote over half the New Testament is struggling with his flesh. Now, I know you all glow in the dark and you're Jesus' second cousins, but this really helps me to know that if Paul's struggling, I can understand my struggle. In fact, I can't wait. I'm going to be preaching a whole sermon on Romans chapter 7 next week because Paul talks about Christians that are held captive. Captive Christians. You can be going to church and still be in captivity because there's a war going on. But Paul begins to help us to understand how we can overthrow the warfare, how we can be overcomers in the warfare, that we don't serve God here. I'm going to rock your boat this way. We don't serve God with our spirits. We serve God with our minds. And that's the reason why a lot of us are not going further in the things of God, is we're trying to serve God out of our spirits. No, you worship God out of your spirits. But if you're going to serve God, you got to make up your mind to serve him. With your mind, you serve God. And then finally, Paul gets to Romans chapter 8. Now, this chapter is the highlight chapter of the whole book. It's known as the crescendo of his masterpiece. It's like the pinnacle of all his writings here in Romans. It's like Paul has marched you up a mountain, and now you're standing on the summit. This is where Paul, in Romans chapter 8, begins to declare that there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ. That'll preach good all by itself. And then he goes on and says, all things work together for the good of them. This is the crescendo. This is the pinnacle of his masterpiece. And then he begins to end the chapter by saying this: if God be for you. I mean, you got to put the preacher voice on. If God be for you. Come on. Then who can be against you? And it's like then he goes into a rant after that. And he begins to say, who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is it that condemns one another? And it's at this point that you want to shout. It's at this point you want to clap. It's at this point that it's just hard to stay seated. I've seen actually preachers, good preachers, preach people into a frenzy over Romans chapter 8. If God be for you. If God be for you. If God be for you. Then who can be against you? However, are you listening? I'm troubled with what Paul is saying there. If God be for me, then who can be against me? This bothers me somewhat. This troubles me somewhat because of that two-letter word in that verse that says, if God be for me. That disturbs me just a bit. I mean, wow, Paul, you've marched me all the way up the mountain, and then you say if, like maybe, if. Listen, I can't do this thing called life on an if. I've got to know that he's for me. I can't live my life on an if. I can't start this new year on an if. I've got to know. I don't know about you, but I can't do it on an if. If we're going to do this thing, I've got to know that God is for me. I can't lay hands on my child who has a fever on an if God. Come on, I got to know that he's a healer. I got to know that he's got my back. I got to know that he's for me. Come on, any rowdy Christian's going to help me preach? I can't launch out into that new business, listen, on an if God. I can't raise my family on an if God in 2019. I cannot face that bad doctor's report on an if God. I don't know about you, but I don't want an if God. I've got to know that God is for me. You see, I'm the kind of guy, I don't mind stepping out in faith. I just got to know that God is stepping out. I've got to know. How many other people here today say, I've got to know this if thing. We got to deal with this if thing. And that's what I've come to do today. As a believer, how do you know? How do you know if this is going to be the way we access what God has for us? I got to know that God is for me. How do I know that God is for me? The good news here today is that God tells us five different things that he did for the believer that will give you the confidence to know. If God be for me, who can be against me? He gives us five things to give us the confidence that we can know that God is absolutely for us. It's in the preceding verses, the two verses before verse 31. Notice verse 29. Here's the five things. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And let me just say this. Most of us scoot over these two verses, and we just get to those verses we like. But this is how we can get rid of the if. This is how we can deal with the if. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Notice he predestined us to be conformed. Notice the predestination is to be conformed to his image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these also he called. And whom he called, these also he justified. And whom he justified, these also he glorified. Now listen, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I wasn't the greatest student in school. But I do know this, that when you have an ED on the end of a word, it means something. In other words, everything that God said that he did for you in these verses, when he predestined you, when he called you, when he justified, when he glorified you, he speaks them in terms of past tense. Are you with me? In other words, these have already been done in the believer's life. They've already been finished. As far as God's concerned, he's already done these in your life. How many believers do I have here today? It's past tense. God's already, listen, some 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died upon the cross and breathed his last breath, he said something. He said, it is finished. Past tense. It is done. It is completed. These things have already been done in the believer's life. You just might not know it, and the enemy doesn't want you to find out about it. But God's already established these in the believer's life. And it can, listen, in an understanding of it, can give you the confidence to get rid of the if God, to know God is for me. So let me help you today. Let's talk about this first one, whom God foreknew. Foreknew means to know it ahead of time, to know it before it happens. Now, this is difficult. That's difficult to understand, that before you lived it, God already knows it, right? This kind of messes with us because we don't understand the difference between the space of time we live in and the eternity that God lives in. You see, God does not live in time. God lives in eternity. God's not getting older. God's hair's not falling out. Come on, his hair's not getting grayer. Nothing's drooping on God. Nothing's sagging on God. No wrinkles are happening on God. God's not, listen, God's not learning in eternity. He already knows everything about everything. There's nothing that God doesn't know. Has it ever occurred to you that it's never occurred to God? Hello? Why? Because God already knows it all. Nothing has ever occurred to God. God doesn't live in time. God lives in eternity. God is the author and the finisher. God is the Alpha and the Omega. God is the beginning and the end. Now catch this statement. For God, the past, the present, and the future is all wrapped up in the now called eternity. Where God lives, he lives in eternity. And eternity is now, and what's wrapped up in his now is the past, the present, and the future. God lives in the now, knowing the end from the beginning. God knows everything about everything, whom he foreknew. So God doesn't live life with you, listen, on a clock, waiting to find out what's going to happen tomorrow. No, God's already been in your tomorrow. I said, God's already been. Come on, God doesn't live in time. God's already been in your tomorrow. That's why Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says this about our God. It says, what has been, and what has yet to be, has been. In other words, it's all been already with God, because God is in the now, and in the now is wrapped up the past, the present, and the future. There is nothing about your life that isn't already in God's rear view mirror. Come on, are you listening to me? So you might go into your tomorrows clueless, but God has already toured your whole life. He's already seen your whole life. When God looks at your life, he doesn't see your tomorrows unfulfilled. He sees the whole painting of your life, knowing the end from the beginning. God already knows every choice you've ever made, every decision, every action that you've made, and that you're still going to make in your tomorrows. Listen, God's a whole lot more smarter than you. God is bad all by himself. Your God already knows. God, listen, here's what I'm trying to say. God is not surprised by your life. Come on. That's some crazy stuff right there. Come on, God knows everything about your life. Now, this is what I'm trying to get you to understand. How many of you have learned that in life, not everybody who says they love you really loves you? Because when people say they love you, what they're generally saying is that I love you up to now. I love you based upon what I know about you right now. Now, everything up to now. But if tomorrow you go crazy, my love stops for you. Listen, that's people, but that's not your God. I said that's people, but that's not your God. God foreknew you and he still loves you. You ought to shout right there. Come on, somebody. God knows everything about you. He knows every decision. He knows every mess. And he still says, I love you. God loves you based on foreknowledge. You don't know anybody like that in your world but God. People love you based upon what they know, right? But you mess up, you find out how much they love you, but not with God. God knows everything about you. He knows every stupid thing you'll ever do. He knows every crazy thing you'll ever think. Come on. And he still, oh, Jesus, whom he foreknew. God already knew it about you because he doesn't live in time. He lives in eternity. He knows the past. He knows the present. And he knows the future. And he still chooses to love you. God says, I already know you. I know what you're going to do tomorrow. And I still love you anyways. While you were yet sinners. Come on. While you were yet sinners, God loved you. And Jesus died for you. This is how you know. How can I have confidence that God is for me right here? That God foreknew me. God knows me. And he still loves me. It's not an if anymore. God is for me because he foreknew me. And he still chooses to love. He knows everything about you. And he loves you. Here's the second thing. Whom he foreknew, he predestined. Now, again, we like to scoot over these things because they just don't make sense to us. But you need to understand us. They're qualifiers to give you the confidence to know that God is for you. And if you have a confidence in 2019 that God is for you, get ready. Get ready because you're gonna see a big God in your 2019. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined. This is how you know God is for you. He has predestined you. Predestined. The prefix pre means before, and destined means in. So God has already preed your end. Hello, somebody. Come on, not only did he foreknew you, he also predestined you, or he preed your end. In other words, God did your end first. God did your end. Come on, stay with me. He did your end first based upon your decision, because God already knew every action, every decision you would make. Based upon your decision to choose Christ, God went to your destiny first. This is what it means to be predestined. God went to your destiny first and established that your destiny would be in the very image of God, that you would be like Christ. 1 John tells us that. It says, as he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. So he predestined you, meaning God goes to the very last chapter of your book, and he declares your destiny. He writes the last chapter of your book. He declares your destiny that you're just like Christ. Come on, there's no sick Christ. There's no depressed Christ. Just like at the end of the book, at the end of your life, he has already determined that your destiny is just like Christ. You're the healed of the Lord. You're the delivered of the Lord. You're the joyful of the Lord. Come on. You've got God's peace. You're just like as he is, so are we. Not in heaven. In other words, God's working on something. God's working. So here's what God does. God goes to the end of your life and determines how it's going to end up. He declares your destiny is going to be just like Christ, and then he works his way backwards. You come out of your mother's womb not knowing anything about tomorrow, and you begin to work your way forward. Oh, but you're not working by yourself because he backed himself up. And now he's working with you to get you to your destiny. He's already determined how your life is going to end up. As a believer, when you made a choice to choose Jesus Christ, he's already determined that the end of your life is going to be just like Jesus. And then he backs himself up and he begins to work with you through the good
and the bad and the ugly and the downs and the outs. That's the reason why the Bible can make the bold claims that he works all things. He backs up, and he works all things. All things work together for the good, the bad, the ugly, the painful. When you choose to take a longer route, God just keeps working with you because he's already predestined. He's already determined. You should be shouting more than that. Come on, somebody shout. How can that be? It's because God has already written the last chapter of your book. God's determined to take all things and make them work together for the good of those who love him. They're called by his name. So he uses it all. He uses it all to get you where he has destined you to be. So it doesn't matter what they do to me. It doesn't matter what they say about me. It doesn't matter if they hate me. It doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter if I don't get it right the first time. It doesn't matter if I fall 7 times. I just keep getting back up. It doesn't matter that I failed. It doesn't matter that I messed up. Listen, regardless what you have to go through, God will get you where he has destined you to be. This is how we know. Whom he foreknew, he predestined. He went to your end and declared your destiny first. Backs up, works with you to make sure all things is working to the good until he gets you to the place, the last chapter of your book, till he gets you to the place where you're just like Christ. Come on, somebody. Come on, we're on our way. I said we're on our way. Say this, say I'm going to get there anyway. Because some of us choose the long route and making God have to work real hard, but he's working. Are you with me? Those whom he predestined, he called. This is how we know, church. This isn't rocket science. This is easy. God says, if God before you, you can know this. This is how you know. He says, I know everything about you, and I love you. He says, and those who I love, I predestined. Those whom I foreknew, I already determined your destiny. Before you ever get there, and I'm working with you to get you there. And whom he predestined, he called. This is how we know God is for us. God has called you. If you're a Christ follower in this building today, you've been called. I said, if you're a believer, according to this verse, you've been called. Who he foreknew, he predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. Be a good time to call somebody. The time of my life, would you please wake up and at least write some notes down and catch this message? I'm telling you, I drove a long way. I would really appreciate it if you would pay attention. Quit loving on your wife like that on the front row. It's distracting me. I don't know if these people are getting the message, Terry. I'm working. I'm trying to get on. I'm telling you, this is what we need for 2019. Listen, question, why did I call Pastor Terry? Because I wanted him. I don't call anybody I don't want. Oh, Jesus. Come on. I don't call anybody I don't want. So when God says, I called you, God is saying, I wanted you. I looked out over the vast of humanity and I said, I called you and I called you and I called you. This has already been done. This has already been done. I called you and I called you. Whom he foreknew, he predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. Even though God sees all your deficiencies and God sees all your issues, the Bible says that God has called you out of that darkness and into the marvelous, somebody ought to shout, and into the marvelous. How many of you have been called out of darkness and into the marvelous light? Shall I be called? Can I remind you, this isn't something God's going to do. God has already done it. He's already predestined you. He already wrote the last chapter of your book. He's not going to call you. He called you. Listen, the moment you became a believer, you were called. If you're here today, I'm here to tell you, you've been called. God wants you. I don't know if your mama or your daddy wanted you, but God wanted you. I don't know if anybody else wanted you, but God wanted you. Come on, God chose you. God called you. The God that knows you ahead of time. The God who finished your book ahead of time is the God that called you. He's the God that wanted me. Isn't that cool? Knew all my deficiencies. Knew all my mess ups. Not only did he love me, not only did he predestine me to be in the very image of Christ, that my life would end up looking just like Jesus, but he called me. You've been called. You've been called. This is how we know God is for us, because he foreknew me and he predestined me, and now he's called me. But he doesn't stop there. Whom he's called, he justified. Wow. I got to hurry because I'm out of time. So worship team, come back. Let me see if I can get this in. Whom he called, he justified. This is how you know God is for you. God has justified you. Justified means that you have been found innocent. This isn't something that's going to happen. This is something that's already. Whom he called, whom he wanted, he justified. Come on. To be justified means that you have been found innocent. You see, we all went into God's court as sinners, as guilty people, yet we were found innocent. Why? Because Jesus said, put that sin on me and let them go free. How many of you know it's a good day when you're innocent and you're found innocent? But how many of you know that when you're guilty and you're found innocent, that's a whole lot better. That's a better day. Come on. Is anybody excited that you've been justified? It's not something that's going to happen. It's already. That's why you can know with the confidence that this year of 2019, God is. There's no longer if. Come on. There's no longer an if. God is for me. God is for me, whom he foreknew. Whom he foreknew, he predestined. And whom he predestined, he called. And whom he called, he justified. He's already done it. And God is saying, this is how you know that you know that you know that I got your back. I am for you because I've already established all these things in your life. He's justified you. Not only were you found innocent, and I hope you're getting, I got to be careful. I've tried to, God, just let me teach it, because I want to get excited and just forget all my notes, and but I don't want to leave anything undone. Sometimes God gives me messages. I feel like it's got to be very methodical, just very line upon line. God not only found you innocent, here's what you need to hear, but your guilty, sinful record has been removed. It's been expunged. In fact, if they did a background check on you as a Christian, there'd be nothing there. No, you don't get it. Even the stuff you're getting ready to do tomorrow, your sins have already been forgiven, past, present. I know that's gonna mess you up. I know that's, but God's already, Jesus isn't climbing back on the cross to forgive your sin that you're going to do tomorrow. He did it once and for all.
And as a believer, we just get up every morning and receive it. I just receive it. Well, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin so that I could become, and I just get up and I walk in that justification. It doesn't mean you just were found innocent, but they threw your record away. You're guilty, sinful. Actions. They can't find them. To be justified means it's just as if you never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever sinned. That's what it means to be justified. This is how you know God is for you. And this is the reason why some of you are questioning. I don't know if he's for me. You know, I'm pretty bad. God already knows all your mess ups. He already knows all your failures. He already knows every time you miss it. But God says, I still love them. I'm still calling them. I still wrote the last chapter of them, and I'm going to work with them through the ups and the downs, then the good times and the bad times, because I'm going to get them to the end of their lives. He says, I've justified them. I've made them innocent, and I threw the record away. Just as if they never, ever, ever, ever. That's how you can have a con. I can tell you, some of you are already squaring your shoulders. Yeah, that's right. 2019, come on, bring it on. See, this is how the enemy has the upper hand. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. And one of his devices is not showing up with a pitchfork and a cape and go, I'm the devil. No, we don't. That's not how the devil shows up. He shows up and tries to make you feel guilty. He tries to shame you with your sin. He tries to shame you with your failures so that you'll question whether or not God is, if he's for me. But God says, I'm giving you some truths that can remove the if. I've justified you. I've cleared the record. I've expunged the web record. God sees you through the blood of Jesus as righteous and redeemed. One more. So he foreknew you. He what? Predestined you. He called you. We're learning something. And those whom he justified, he glorified. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my Jesus. Somebody shout glorified. Come on, shout glorified. It's not something he's going to do. It's something he's already. We don't have to twist his arm to get him to do it. He's already done it. He's already glorified you. Now, I get it. Well, what in the world does that mean? Let me help you. When the Bible says God glorified you, what he's saying is he gave you back what Adam lost in the garden. The Bible says when he created Adam, the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, God crowned them with glory and honor. When Adam sinned, he lost the glory. But Jesus came, and when he said it was finished, past tense, it's already done, it is finished, the Bible says in Psalms that he put glory back on man. Oh, Jesus. He's already done it. He's already done it. What Adam lost, Jesus got it back. We already got some stuff back. He glorified. We got back what Adam lost. The Bible says that God's crowned his man once again through Jesus with glory and honor. What does glory mean? It means weighty. It means weighty. It means weightiness. God's glory in Scripture is described by his presence, his power, and his goodness. Moses said, God, let me see your glory. And God showed him by showing him his presence, his power, and his goodness. So when the Bible says that you've been glorified, what this is talking about is that God's weight, his weightiness comes on your life, his presence gets weighty on your life. His power
Oh, Jesus. The only reason why it's not happening is you didn't know it. The power of God gets heavy on your life. God says, I've glorified you. His goodness gets weighty on your life. When God says, I've glorified you, what God is saying is, I'm putting my weighty power on you. I'm putting my weighty presence on you. I'm putting, listen, my weighty goodness on you. Meaning this, I've got your back. My weight is on you. My power is on you. My presence is on you. My goodness. This is how we know. This is how we know that God is for us. Why? He has glory. It's not something He's going to do. It's something He's already done. And if you have faith to receive it, you'll start feeling that weight. You'll start feeling that weight of His presence. You'll start feeling that weight of His power. You'll start feeling the weight of His goodness. When I was going into high school, am I okay on time? I'm running out of time. You guys are going to fire me. When I was going into high school, my brother was a senior. I was not afraid to be a freshman in high school because my brother was a senior in high school. Not only was my brother a senior in high school, he was one of the great athletes in the school. Probably one of the biggest, baddest guys in the school that loved to fight. And nobody would mess with him. Now, when I went into high school, I was a very small guy. I mean small. I mean, listen, you think I'm small now. I was like 5'1". Yeah, 5'1". And I probably didn't weigh 100 pounds. And I'm going in to be a freshman in high school, but I wasn't afraid. In fact, to be honest with you, I kind of ran the whole school at Santa Cruz High. Not as a senior, but as a freshman. Because my brother was one of the biggest, baddest dudes in the whole school. And so I became the biggest, baddest dude in the whole school as a freshman. Not because I was the biggest, baddest dude in the whole school. It was because I had a brother that had my back. His weight was on me. And if you mistreat me, you mistreat. You mess with me, you mess with. God says, I've glorified you. I put my weight on you. I put my power. God's got, oh Jesus, God's got your back in 2019. I said, God's got your back in 2019. Come on, stand to your feet. God's weight is on you. God is backing your life up. I just feel like telling somebody, you need to walk in your glory. You need to walk in your glory. You need to walk in the power of God. You need to walk in the presence of God. You need to walk in your glory. It's not something that God is going to do. He's already done it. He's already glorified. Whom He foreknew, He predestined. Whom He predestined, He called. Who He called, He justified. And whom He justified, He glorified. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. He glorified. Come on, you need to walk in your glory. You need to walk in your glory. You need to walk in your glory 2019. It's not a matter if God is for us. I'm here to declare God is for you. I say God is for. It's not a maybe anymore. Everything that God has for you is accessed through this confidence that God is for me. We're so serious about this. At our church, we got wristbands, ugly old orange ones so we can see them. And on that wristband, it says, for you. So that when I look at it, I'm reminded that God's for me. Yeah, but I failed. Yeah, but He justified me. Yeah, but I don't feel wanted. Yeah, but He called me. He called me. He wants me. Yeah, but really messed up. He knew it before I did it. And He still loves. He's for me. He's for me. And as you leave this building today, just a moment as I turn it back to Pastor Terry, there's going to be wristbands for you because I want you to get a mindset and a confidence and frame your 2019
that God is for me.
Do you know how Paul ends the whole chapter, chapter 8? You know how he ends it? Once he declares that you've been glorified, that you have the weight of God backing you up. Remember, if God be for me, who can be against me? Listen, with God's weight backing you up, listen, whatever is against you has no power over you anymore. And that's why Paul ends this chapter by saying, yet we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. You're more than a conqueror. Whatever's against you, you can overcome it in 2019. Come on, you don't have to be addicted anymore. Come on, you don't have to live in that failure anymore. Come on, you can rise above. You can overcome it. You're not just a conqueror. You're more. Somebody shout, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. What? God is for me. God is for. God is for me. God is for me. Somebody say, God is for me. You better not mess with me. You better just keep your remarks to yourself. You better not mess with me. Don't be hating on me. Don't be talking about me. Listen, somebody ought to get some faith in this place and realize, man, God's got your back. Don't be messing with me. You don't want to mess with me. I'm here to tell you, 2019 is a year where God is for you, and you're going to see every promise. Come on, you're going to see victories. I've ran out of time. Come on, you better not mess with. Somebody ought to say, you better not mess with my marriage. You better not mess with my kids. Ain't taking no cancer. Ain't taking no disease. You ain't messing with me. God is for me. There's no whip in this anymore. God is for me. Whom he foreknew, he predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. Something weighty is coming on this house. Something heavy is coming on this house. What would you do? Celebration? I messed up again. I want to leave you with this thought. We do this in Fresno and Clovis too. It's a wonderful traffic jam. Jason, what would you do? Liz, what would you do? Pastor Terry, Karen, what would you do? Well, what would you do? What would you do this year if you really knew that God was for you? What would you do this year if you could get your eyes off what has been against you? Or what you think has been stopping you? Or what you think the problem is? Well, they didn't do this and they didn't do that and they should have done this. What if you got your eyes off of what is against you and you got your eyes on who is? What would you do? What would you do? What water would you walk on? What business would you start? Come on. What hospital would you go to lay hands on this? Come on. What would you do this year? I'm talking to some church going people. What would you do in 2019 if you were thoroughly convinced God was for you? I'm here to tell you, you've been given a license to do it, because it's no longer if God's for you. You begin to follow the passions and the dreams and let them resurrect. Get your eyes off of what is against you and start looking at the one that has put the passion in you. He is for you. Begin to live out your dreams. Begin to live out your purpose. Begin to live out your assignment. God is for you. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, you believe it? Father, I thank you. God, I thank you. God, this is the best news we could ever hear. God, I thank you that understanding has come. Faith has come to this house. God, we're going to get our wristbands on.
Put them in places that can remind us. It's no longer an if, but He's for us. God, we're not going to live this year guessing and wondering, because God, You've already established these things. You've already done them. In Your eyes, they're done. In eternity, they're done. Now, God, help us in the space called time to walk out everything that You've done in our lives, and let it begin today. I bless the people of Salinas. I bless the people of Celebration of Salinas. God, there's something special You're doing in this house. I believe I believe a recovery is coming. A recovery is happening. A move of God is taking place right now. And I thank You, Lord, that You are restoring and You are healing and You're delivering. And the weight of Your glory is coming back heavier than ever before. Your presence, Your power, and Your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, if this helped you today, go ahead and give the Lord a heck clap. Come on, if this helped you.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.